Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today, we are watching episode 481 of Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 23, Sensei Switcheroo.
It aired on July 12th, 2003. It's written by Mark Hoffmeyer and directed by Wayne Rose. Hey, did you know that when you first land on, like, on your phone on the Wikipedia page, it cuts off just enough of the writer's name that I thought for a second it was Matt Hoffman.
Did he do BMX?
Yeah, he was a BMXer.
He was a BMXer. Is there a better way to say that? A biker? Because a biker doesn't seem like it covers it.
No.
In the same way.
Biker has a different connotation.
Yeah.
He did a BMX.
Well, congratulations, Matt Hoffman, on writing your first Power Rangers episode. Hopefully there's a lot of cool bike stunts in this one. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it, and you can follow along if you have Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Ninja Storm's pretty good. It's like all Power Rangers, there are peaks and valleys, you know, ebbs and flows, but it's a lot more flows than ebbs, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it that's up here, and then a lot of it comes up here even, but then when it's bad, it just is all the way down here.
Yeah, I think that is a comparison issue, too. Like, because, like I think we said, like, some of the bad stuff, if they would have done it in Wild Force, not Wild Storm, that's nothing. I mean, it used to be a comic imprint, but that's not what we're talking about. In Wild Force, if they would have done, like, the dumb things where, like, here's the whole setup, just kidding, don't worry about the island sinking that doesn't actually do anything, doesn't matter. We'd be like, whatever, Wild Force, sure, as long as Animus isn't here, like, cool. But since Ninja Storm has been so good, when that happens, we're like, why? No! Shut up! Anyway, we're going to go watch Sensei Switcheroo right now.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form. And we're back. And I know I sound like Josh, but I'm Jake now.
No, I don't want to be Josh.
Rude.
By which I mean, I just left retail. I don't want to go back.
Well, you have to work today.
No, Josh, I can't.
Yeah, no, you do.
No, I just quit on Saturday. I haven't even really felt it yet because I have Sundays and Mondays off, so this is just normal, and I'm waiting for tomorrow. I'm so excited for tomorrow when I wake up and go, I don't have to do shit today.
I'm still Josh, I guess. Jake's not playing along. This is no, like the WrestleMania see, it's bit not all
fun.
Over again.
It's not fun when you don't play with the bit,
see,
is it?
You really are Josh the whole
time.
Oh no,
I became the Josh!
Anyway, we watched Sensei Switcheroo. We did not actually switcheroo.
No, that would be
that would take a
weird,
lot,
right?
A very long portal.
Yeah. Man, hey, imagine if we would have had the foresight to, like, do the bit and then do the whole thing. But then you'd have to read notes.
Oh,
so, like,
God. Well, it wouldn't be a big deal because I'd be you and you'd be me. Hey, well, in portal, is there, a range? Or could I shoot one portal here in this room and then fly to Texas, shoot a portal in that room, and go between them?
In the game portal?
Yeah, I'm just curious if there's like a rule to how far apart a portal can be.
No, I mean, in spoiler for the end of the second game, you do shoot a portal at the moon, and it lands.
But you
and
can't
so,
breathe up there.
Well, no, you can't. That's part of the problem.
So if there's a portal here in my room and another portal on the moon,
everything gets sucked out into space.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you beat the final boss. Again, spoilers for a 9-year-old game. It's really good, though. If you haven't played it, I'm really sorry I just blew it for you. Because the moment you realize, oh, dang, I can shoot the moon, is like one of the greatest feelings in video games I've ever had.
Can you shoot the moon the whole time? Can you just go up there?
No, because it's you find out that all the the white surfaces that the portals stick to very easily, like that, like are easily portable, are covered in like a moon dust paint, basically. And at the end, the ceiling is broken and you can see the moon and you go, what if I shoot the moon?
Video games are wild.
They're weird. There's a lot going on in video games.
Hey, what if there's a gun? You shoot a portal there, you shoot a portal there, and you could just like go between them and you could use that in a fun way. And then after they came up with that idea, they were like, okay, but why?
Yeah, then they were like, let's go back. Let's reverse engineer this. Yeah, I love the Portal series. I've been thinking about playing it again. I think I can get it on Xbox. I think I can buy both of them on Xbox so I can play them that way. And I got some time now, so maybe I'll do that. I do need to start like packing or whatever, but like I can do that later. Week one is for me.
Well, there's going to be a point where you can't do that later.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, JakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes of our show up through Lightspeed Rescue. You can also go to the classic feeds and listen to old episodes there in a much more convenient way. Those are updated up through Terp. Classic Volume 2 is updated up through Turbo. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife and Podbaby and Podroo. No, we already did Podroo. That was nothing in the Bopperoo episode. No kangaroos this time. Spoiler for the episode. No kangaroos in sight. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Could always be worse because there always could be a Bopperoo around any corner.
There could always be a Bopperoo. And you never want that.
Well, I mean, we do get Fuzzilla, but...
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, it's not all sunshine and roses over here. Anyway, I don't have a joke for this one because I'm just riding that high of not working in retail anymore, I guess. But if you want to leave us a rating and a review, that'd be great. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show, and we'd really appreciate it. But if you can't, don't worry about it. We get it.
Yeah, bigger causes need your help right now. So
yeah, for sure.
So we definitely get it.
Then these two little idiots. Josh, it's a Monday episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't got to do any extra stuff.
Nope.
We can just jump in to talking about the Sensei Switcheroo.
Yeah.
Before we start, I had to do a Google once the thing ended, because in the credits, the second name listed after Kelly's is Jake. And I was like, I was not in this episode. Who is Jake?
Who was Jake?
I found out who Jake was, and I'll tell you, they didn't say the name Jake once, and I would know because it's my name, and I'm pretty keen on hearing it. So we start off at Storm Chargers. Dustin comes in. He's got his dad there. His dad's name is Jake, though we only find that out from the credits.
Yeah, I...
Why is Dustin's dad here?
Yeah.
You might be wondering. He needs new gloves, but no other reason in terms of the narrative.
At all. Oh, man. There's an episode here that they started, and then I feel like they scrapped it after three pages for a different episode.
Well, I understand what the purpose is. It feels really weird to be like, here's Dustin's dad. Don't worry about him. He's going to be fine.
It's not even like we're setting him up to be around. Because
no,
later
he gets on an airplane.
Like he left on a plane.
I took him to the airport. He's there to go, hey, I'm Dustin's dad. Let me high five Dustin because we're buds as well as son and dad. Also, I need some new gloves because I shredded mine because we do dirt bike together. And then while they're doing that, Hunter and Blake and Cam are like, oh man, I miss dads. and Cam's like, yeah. And Blake's like, you still have your dad. He's like, just a guinea pig. He's like, yeah, I can't high five a guinea pig though.
You can, but it's not the same.
It's a very small. It feels fun, but not the same as a good regular high five. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Also, at one point, Dustin's like, this is my boss, Kelly. And she's like, oh, nice to meet you. And I was like, is Dustin's dad going to hit on Kelly? And then he doesn't. So I was like,
he doesn't. Okay. He purchases gloves from her, and then that's it.
And end of transaction. I thought we were real close to getting that old. Like, my dad's real cool. He hits on my boss. It's like, okay, stop. So then we cut back to Ninja Ops. Cam is talking to Sensei about how he's sad about how his dad is a hamster now.
Well, he's looking at a picture. That old picture of like the three of them, him and his mom and and Papa Sensei.
Yeah, and young Dad Sensei.
Yeah, and Sensei's like, "Do you miss your mom?" And he's like, "I miss my dad."
No, she's dead. I know she's not coming back. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's a little weird of a setup.
Yeah, because then Sensei's like, "Well, like I'm here," and
Ken's like, "No,
like, physically sure, but like I don't know, you're barely a dad right now."
Like what? Like here's the thing, Cam. What are you looking to get out of a dad right now? Like, do you want to go have a catch? Is that what you're angling for?
Right, because if you throw a baseball at a hamster, it's not going to end well.
It's going to die. Even a ninja hamster can only do so much. But he's like, maybe I'll find a way to get you back. He's like, do you ever think you'll get back to your normal form? He's like, yeah, but it would require like a lot of energy that we just like don't have. And then Cam looks at his necklace. And he's like, this is a lot of energy. Maybe I can do something. And then we cut up to space. And I thought the episode, okay, so first of all, I just want to say right out the gate, Mara has completely reverted to the worst possible dumb version of herself.
Yeah, just like the last episode never even happened.
Don't even consider it anymore. Also, they are dressed like door-to-door makeup salesmen.
Yeah, Avon calling.
They're dressed like Avon.
It's Mara and Capri.
And they look ghoulish. Their makeup is so frightening.
It's really bad. And I don't know who wrote this. Matt Hoffman. I don't know where he went. I don't know where he went back to school. Where like this is how they dressed in college, I guess.
Right? Like in what? The 1940s?
Like, yeah, it's like a combination of Avon and like a flight attendant.
Yeah. It's wild. But then they also have these really sexy like heels that like have like long like crisscrossing straps that go like all the way up all to the their way up. Knee.
Yeah.
And it's like, that doesn't seem like it fits any of what else is going on. But their makeup is like, it's like if in Beetlejuice, like when they go to the hell world in Beetlejuice and everyone's all scary because they're dead there. If it's like, oh, we were two Avon saleswomen and we died. That's what they look like.
Yeah, they're one good prosthetic away.
Yeah. And Lothar's like, you're applying for the Lothar internship program? And he looks over at Zergain and Chubo. Chubo, who has zero lines in this episode, so nice.
That's a win.
He's like, do we even have one of those? And Zergain's like, I don't know. He's like, what do you want? And they're like, well, since you always say we're a joke, we decided to go back to school to get our MBEs, which stands for Masters in Business of Evil. Okay.
Mara just proved that she was evil in the last episode.
And they, like, applauded her for it.
Yeah.
They were like, you did great.
And she totally alphaed Capri. And now she's just right back to where she was before. Yeah. Like, none of that ever happened. And this is becoming the most frustrating thing about Ninja Storm.
This is why you don't let BMX bikers write Power Ranger episodes.
Matt Hoffman has never watched an episode before in his life.
He's never going to work in this town again. So they're like, yeah.
Mira better anyway.
Everyone did. He had his own biking video game. Dave Mira Freestyle BMX is on the GameCube and probably other ones.
Don't forget BMX XXX, which I think started as a Dave Mira game.
Oh, BMXXX is what I always called that. That was like, what if biking was porn?
Yeah, it's like on the PlayStation 1, maybe the PlayStation 2.
I don't know.
Here's boobs made out of 40 polygons.
Right. Like, what if biking, but pole dance?
I say 40 polygons, like that's not a lot. I feel like that is a lot, though. I feel like it was like 6 polygons.
I don't know, it was like 9 yeah. tops. Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know anything about it other than like it's horny, and everyone's I love that.
I only ever saw like screenshots in a video game magazine of like a girl just completely like in like a star pose with her boobs out, but it was censored. Obviously. Electronic Gaming Monthly does not have the permits to show boobies.
No, they would never. They'd have to plastic bag it, put it on the top shelf.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a game that they finished and came out.
Yeah. The game aired. That's not how you would say that.
If you have the money, you could make anything.
Yep.
And just put it out.
Remember when Nintendo used to have a seal of approval?
Now it's just the seal.
Now it's just like, this is on Nintendo. Like,
yeah, it used confirmed. To be the seal of quality, but then like bad games came out and they put it on there anyway.
Yeah. I blame the Bible games, the unlicensed Bible games. So they're like, all right, we got a plan. It's got a lot of steps. Here's, they have like a folder and they're like, we're going to use a monster. Here's Footzilla. And then like a foot, like a, what's the guy from Crash Bandicoot, the little mask?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like Aku Aku, I think.
Sure.
It's like that,
but a
foot. I
know nothing of Crash Bandicoot.
You know nothing of Crash Bandicoot? You didn't play any Crash's Bandicoot?
No.
They're very good.
I don't know. I watched Latasha play a little bit of one. It didn't look very good to me.
I don't know. I think, I don't know what to tell you. I like them.
It's a weird, like, it's like a 2D platformer from behind.
Yeah.
Which is odd to me.
I think it really works. There's also sometimes where it's in front of you and you have to run towards the camera.
Well, that is a recipe for disaster.
Well, that's the point. There's always like a boulder or a lion.
If Battletoads taught me anything, it's that seeing ahead of you is the most important part of a platformer.
Anyway, so it's like the little mask guy from Crash Bandicoot, but it's a foot. And he floats in. His name's Footzilla.
Also, his abdomen is a foot, which I didn't realize until like the end of the episode.
Yeah, he's got like a toe, he's got like a loincloth skirt kind of thing.
But it's toes.
It's all toes. It's gross. So hey, gross. If you're real into feet, I probably know what your favorite Power Ranger monster is. But if you're not, I can tell you what maybe your least favorite Power Ranger monster is.
Eye Guy.
It's still Eye Guy. He takes the cake. He's gross as hell. and then it's the guy with a lot of eyes, but he's a flasher. He's got like a trench coat. No, Eye Guy was the big one in season one, the big one made out of eyes.
Right.
Flasher one was in season three.
Yeah, that's Seymour.
Probably. Well, Seymour was a little alien that was on In Space.
Right.
Again, how do I remember all these things? Who knows?
I sure don't.
I mean, what else do I got going on up in my brain right now, I guess? Anyway, so he's like, I'm Footzilla. And they're like, yeah. And Lothar's like, cool. If you fail, permanent detention. And they're like, oh, that's bad. And then we cut down to Ninja Ops. Cam has a thing. He's going to shoot Sensei with the laser. And that's going to make him, it's going to like de-atomize him or something. And then turn him back into regular dad. Seems convoluted. Also, it's untested, so who knows what it'll actually do.
Yeah, Cam just, like, made a thing. He's like, this will bring him back a person. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So he zaps him. He's like, it should be fine as long as everything is good. And then everything starts going bad. He's like, dip. Shane, pull the power. So Shane goes to, like, pull the power. The lights go out. Power goes down. They're on backup reserve power. And they're like, Cam's like, Dad, are you okay? And he's like, why are you calling me Dad? And it's Shane's voice coming out of Cam, out of Sensei Hamster.
Yeah. Which, when it's disembodied from Shane's head, could maybe sound like Dustin for a minute.
Maybe for like a second. It does. And then we hear Sensei's voice from behind, and we turn around, and it's Shane, but he talks with Sensei's voice, and he's very chill now.
Yes, he always has his hands behind his back.
Yes. Which I actually think is a very good, visual cue.
Yeah, because it's going to happen again, and like the other person also does that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they just like kept it consistent.
They found a thing, yeah.
Instead of halfway through the episode erasing the rules they wrote.
So, wait, who directed this one? Wayne Rose, I think you said?
Yeah, the cowboy, Wayne Rose.
So the cowboy, he knew what was up. At least he was doing the work. Matt Hoffman. Guy doesn't know his ass from his elbow, seems like.
Is Matt Hoffman the guy who wrote the last one too? Because then I would be even more upset.
I would also be pretty mad if that was the case.
No, Jackie wrote the all.
Oh, of course Jackie wrote the last one. It was good.
It was the best episode.
So they're like, beans. We go to commercial, we come back. Shane's like, well, I don't want to be, I got a skate demo today. I can't be stuck a guinea pig. And Tori's like, you know, you're kind of cute when you wrinkle your nose like that. He's like, shut up, Tori. And then Sensei's like, I will do the skating for you. And they're like, and Tori's like, so just like having Shane's body is one thing. Knowing how to skateboard is a different thing entirely. And he's like, I'm a ninja master. Just trust me.
I'll break it with my head.
I'll do that, like, I'll line my hand up and then punch right through it with one powerful strike. So they're like, okay. And Shane's like, hurry up, because, like, we got to get the power back on, and I'm getting hungry. And then Tori grabs a bag of guinea pig food pellets that's like a bag of chips, but for guinea pigs. And she's like, here, have some of these. And then they leave.
And Shane smells it, and he's like, ew, gross. But, like, maybe it's just, like, the longer you are a hamster, the more you like hamster things.
Maybe, as we will see later. Because also,
Sensei presumably eats that and is fine with it.
Yeah. And he does have hamster taste buds, so maybe Shane's just not used to it yet.
Right. He smelled it, and, like, his memory of what things smell like is like, that's not what I eat.
No, I don't eat that.
But when he eats it, he's going to go, mmm.
yummy in my tummy.
This tastes just like food.
like a food to me. So we go to the skate demo. It's going poorly. Kelly's, because he's like skating bad because he, you know, doesn't skateboard, and it's not like a thing you can just like go do.
No.
And Kelly's like, it's Kelly and Tori there. Kelly's like, what's up with him today? And Tori's like, I think he's got like an inner ear thing. And then he falls over. She's like, it's really deep in the ear. It's like, yeah, way, like, up in there.
Like on the inside of the ear.
And Kelly's like, okay, well, I'm embarrassed for him, so I'm going to leave. And she just walks away.
I have to go restock my gloves.
So he lands, like, he like goes up a quarter pipe and then just flies off and like lands on his ass, like right in front of Tori. She's like, oh, God. She says, like, Shane. Because she's still thinking, like, it's Shane. Or maybe she's just, like, she's really good at kayfabe. But I like the little touch. And she goes, she's like, are you all right? He's like, yeah, it turns out skateboarding, kind of tricky, even for a ninja master. And she's like, well, a little rodent once told me to trust in your inner ninja. And he's like, yeah, I did do that. That's a smart rodent. I'm going to go try. And he goes back to skating. And he doesn't do... He's not doing great, but he's doing better.
He's still doing bad. He's still falling. He, like, biffs it on the quarter pipe.
Yeah. And then Dustin comes up. It's like, he's like, hey, what's up? And Tori, like, cups his ear and is like, and he's like, no way! And then we cut back to Ninja Ops. And I like that they didn't tell us the whole thing again. They just got a joke out of it.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, hey, kids, because in Power Rangers, they'd be like, all right, everybody huddle in. Let me tell you what happened 1 minute ago.
Right, that, like, dumb idiot Morphin watching the show forgot everything that happened, right, a minute ago.
Yeah. We cut back to Ninja Ops. Cam's like, all right, I got everything back up and running. As soon as the skate demo's over, we can get you back in your bodies. It'll be fine. He's like, are you sure it's going to be fine? And Cam's like, oh, what's the worst that could happen? Cut back to the skate demo. Mara and Capri teleport down in their Mary Kay Avon outfits. They look even worse in the daylight. They
have so much makeup on that their faces are like three shades lighter than the rest of their body.
The
sunlight really
yeah,
really shows that.
Yeah, it's like they're it's like you ever seen like an old lady put on like way too much makeup? Because, yeah, like, that's how she used to do it in the 40s, and then she's just going to keep doing that.
Yeah, and you can see, like, just the layer of powder.
Yeah.
That is now the face of the person.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, and it's really rough to look at. But they're like, all right, what do we do? And they're, like, looking through things, and they're like, I forget. Mara's like, what? Yeah, well, we need a plan. We're going to do. And Capri's just like, just send the Zackies in. She's like, yeah, I can,
like,
do that.
Mara's flipping through her notes for like how to surprise teenage superheroes. And Capri's like, send the Kelzaks, you dummy.
Just send them in. Oh, yeah, I can do that. And it's like, cool. Last episode doesn't even count. Thanks, Matt. Good job. So then they send the Zackies in. What I do like about this is that. Oh, sorry. Real quick, I did forget that when we cut back to Shane and Cam, Shane is skateboarding on a tech deck.
Yes, as a hamster man.
Yeah.
He's shredding it. He's shredding that little quarter pipe that was there for some reason.
Yeah, it came with a tech. He got a big tech deck.
Oh, right. By the skate park set.
get a skateboard free. Get a skateboard, get two little wrenches to take out the trucks.
Yeah, you could swap the tires out for some nice neon orange ones.
Yeah.
And just flip it around on your fingies.
Do like this kind of stuff all over the place. And then know your friends at lunch.
Yeah, I could ollie with my fingers, but not with my actual feet. So that's where I stood on skateboarding.
I actually think I don't want to brag, but I think it's easier to ollie with my feet than it is with my fingers. Because normally, because I would just kind of like let the stickiness of my fingers, like the sweat that builds up when you're doing some tech deck.
Yeah, because I mean you're working.
Yeah, I would just let that kind of stick to the board and pull it up, and that's not how ollies work.
No, I mean with my fingers, I understood the physics of ollies, how you have to like bounce the back of the board up and then like rotate it over a fulcrum or whatever. I could never get my feet to actually do it.
I feel like feet are meant to do it better than fingers were.
And you watch Rodney Mullen, who can do pretty much anything with a board between his feet. And you're just like, what the hell am I doing, man?
Rodney Mullen's just like walking to the store and like a skateboard flies out from nowhere and he accidentally kickflips it.
He makes up a trick by
He's
accident.
He's like, whoops, sorry, here you go, here's your skateboard. I invent a new trick on it, so like that's going to be worth something someday.
I'm Rodney Mullen, I invented skateboarding.
I did all the best ones. I did. That was me. You're welcome. They send the Zackies in. They start fighting. What I really like is that Sensei as Shane is like extremely calm, and it's like a really good way to like be like, this is not Shane, because he's not like, you know, doing a lot of like rahs and like kicks and punches and stuff. He's just like blocking and dodging and doing a lot of like cool ninja master stuff, and it's really good. It's effective. It goes on for a long time though. It's a long fight.
Because he like stalls on the half pipe and is beating him up, which is neat.
He's like standing on the half pipe.
Yeah,
like,
he's standing on the lip of it, like horizontally, like outwards, yeah. Which is a cool little thing. But he does it for so long that I'm like, okay, he's this is fake now. Now you've convinced me that this is not real.
Well, there's a moment where they like the Zackies like stop and are backed up, and one of them's like, is there anything under him? And no.
Yeah. There's one point where they take out a hula hoop and pass it over him so you can see that he's actually levitating.
It seems unnecessary to me. I don't know.
When this fight started, I was like, oh, yeah, I love a good environmental like prop fight.
Yeah.
But then Sensei just like stood on the thing sideways for 5 minutes and punched a bunch of Zackies. And I was like, OK, to compare it back to original Power Rangers, which you're doing a lot this season. Whenever they had like a playground fight or whenever they did a fight anywhere, they always obeyed physics. And I know that these are like ninja masters, and so there's like a little bit of leeway there, but he stands there for so long that it's just like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't go back around to being good again.
No, I think it's like, it's just long enough to be like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, we got it 2 minutes ago.
Let's wrap it up here.
Is this his only trick? Can he only fight if he's standing perpendicular to a solid object?
I do want to point out just a real quick what was Tori wearing. Regular tank top, jeans. That's not the important part. The important part is she is wearing what I can only describe as a hemp loin belt. It's not a loincloth. It's not a belt.
No.
It is the bastard child of the two of those.
It's like a rope. It's like a hand-knitted rope with like little tasselies hanging off of it.
Yeah.
On one side. And then on the other side, it's just like tied off.
Yeah. But it's just this weird little loin. I don't know why. I have no answers for this little belt thing.
It doesn't do anything.
No, it's just decoration.
Yeah.
But to my 2020 eyes, it looks weird. I'm sure in 2003 I would have been like, babe. Because, you know, we didn't know any better.
When Mara was in her like normal teenager clothes, she also had like a weird side belt thing.
Yeah,
that's just what they were doing in 2003. Is that when this was?
Yeah, 2003. It was just the times, I guess.
I was a junior in high school, and I mean, girls probably dressed like that. I don't know.
I was first half of the year, I was in eighth grade. Second half, I was a freshman. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was a junior in high school. I wasn't really super focused on what the belt situation was.
No, I don't remember anyone in my high school wearing something this weird, but like I wasn't super worried about the belt sitch. So anyway, they morph because Capri's like, how, let's see how the Rangers feel about a little game of footsie. And I was like, you're getting a little saucy here. Okay, I see what we're doing. Send in Footzilla. As Footzilla comes down, they're like, sensei, would you like to do the honors? He's like, yes, bring it on. And then they morph. He's like, let me do the first move. And they're like, okay, sensei, you got it. And he goes and he like slashes. He does like that anime slash where he like slashes a bunch and then he jumps backwards and he like puts his sword away. And as soon as it clicks, like a bunch of sparks fly off of. Like the cuts catch up to him.
They beat the crap out of Footzilla. This guy sucks. They punk
him. Yeah, he sucks. He's terrible. So then they just like kick his ass more because he's like, I'm not done. And then so they Tori and Dustin grab his arms and then Sensei does a jump spin and lands and slashes him. And as soon as he gets cut, he backs up and goes, all right, I'm gonna go. It makes some sort of foot pun. Like he says, like time to do some soul searching or something. Soul
searching, yeah. Yep.
This guy sucks. So he leaves, and we cut from there to Lothar's, and Mara and Capri have a big glass board in front of them that they have like football plans on. But they're on one side and Lothar's on the other, and they can't really hear between it. So Mara and Capri are just screaming the whole time. I actually think that's funny, but the problem is that during this, it's just like, remember how dumb Mara was? Wah. Most of the jokes is like, Mara's an idiot, and Capri's also dumb, but like, it's mostly Mara is the real dumb one here. Yeah. But they're just like, what do we do, though? And Lothar's like, why do I have to tell you?
Yeah, is this where he's like, I don't know, give him like a superpower, like, you know how all the other monsters have like a thing that they do, and Capri's like, yeah, what if Footzilla doesn't have that?
Maybe he doesn't have one, though. Which means maybe what makes him special is that nothing makes him special.
They found the one monster that is just a guy.
He's just a foot. He's like, well, then give him a power. And they're like, what kind of power? And Luthor's like, I don't know, like super stinky foot or like bunions or like a gravity heel crusher or whatever. And they're like, oh, that one's good. And he's like, cool. And they're like, then what do we do? And he's like, what do you mean, what do you do?
Also, they have the ability to just give a monster a superpower,
I guess. I mean, remember,
do we see this happen? Or is it just like he can do this now?
The only time I can remember, other than Super Stinky Snail, when they made Stinky Snail and Super Stinky Snail, was they gave Boxer, like Zergane gave Boxeroo like metal spiky boxing gloves.
Right.
That's
but they didn't like inherently give him a magic ability.
No, like he already had his weird wheel of gimmicks. They didn't like give that to him. They're just like, here's like new gloves, like what Dustin's dad needed. Not really a super thing. It's very strange. So they're like, cool. Then what? And he's like, then you just go terrorize people, like do a catastrophe. And Mara's like, is that with a C or a K? And I'm like, all right, we're done with this joke. We need to get out of here.
Yeah, the joke of like, what if he doesn't have a superpower? It's funny. But this episode is a lot of like, that's a funny joke, but you keep telling it and you need to just cut it short here.
I don't even know if it was that joke's problem or if it was just them being like, let's just really hammer home that Mara's just stupid. and that part I'm like, I don't want this. No, thank you. I don't like it. I'd like to send this back. Oh, also, by the way, they're under black light now. So the marker shows up. Their makeup is even worse under black lights. Their skin's like purple and their lips are bright orange.
Yeah, like glowing because they react to the black light.
Yeah, it's day glow makeup.
It's bad. It's really bad. I don't know why they look like this.
Why do they do this? What college would do this to you? Anyway, so we go back to Ninja Ops. Cam's trying to fix the problem. He's like, all right, everything's set up. It's on backup power. It's on its own power source, so everything should be fine as long as nothing interrupts it. So they start the thing. There's like a green wave around Sensei and Shane, and Dustin's like, yeah, dude. And it goes to like high five the beam, like the little wave chamber thing. And he's like, uh-oh. And he gets blasted back, and everyone gets blasted. Like, whoa, what happened? And Shane gets up. He's like, hey, I'm me again. I got my two legs. What's up? I'm a skateboard. And then he's like, Cam's like, Dad, are you okay? What happened? And Dustin's voice goes, why are you calling me Dad? And he's like, ah, beans. And then we get Dustin as Sensei, who goes, we solved one problem, but created a new problem. I did not expect this. Honestly, what I thought this episode was going to be is that Lothar and Sensei switch places.
Yeah, that would make sense because it's the same guy.
Yeah.
And so you could do that.
You could do that pretty easy. So I thought it was going to be like, we're gonna go up to space and something's going to happen. And then he's like, I'm going to get you your body back, Dad. And he's like, yeah. And then it's going to, because Lothar did it, is going to do a thing. But no. And then we just keep switching. I'm going to let everyone down easy right now. Tori does not get a turn as Sensei.
No, neither do the Thunder Rangers.
The Thunder Rangers.
Just Shane and Dustin.
Yeah. So, I mean, a little bit of a missed opportunity, even though it seems like they had a lot of time to do a lot of stuff because this episode felt very long.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
It did.
They get like, we go to commercial, we come back. He gets something back up and working. They see like Footzilla like just knocking over like shops, like in the shopping district. There's like, you know, like in an Animal Crossing town, how you have like stands with things on it. He's just knocking stuff over. Like, all right, go fight. So they go down, they morph, they start fighting. Sensei as Dustin is chill also. So like, and there's like the visual continuity of like hands behind the back, like very chill, which I like.
It's a bigger switch for Dustin than it was for Shane. Like Shane is like still a teen, I guess, but like he's definitely a little more down to earth than Dustin, which is ironic because
yeah.
Because of their elements. But to see Dustin, who's always like, whoa, dude, gnarly. just be Sensei all of a sudden is like.
At one point, he's even like, yeah, great, dude. And Sensei's like, do not call me dude, Dustin. He's like, sorry, Sensei, you got it.
Yeah, Tori's like, Dustin. That's our collective dad.
Well, Dustin, I got a dad. I don't know about y'all, but I had a dad, and I took him to the airport today.
Yeah, we do dirt bike stuff. He's a whole character.
And his name's Jake, apparently.
That only existed so physically I could high five somebody.
So that I can make Cam jealous of me high fiving a dad. So they fight. Before they leave, Sensei's like, Cam, get things sorted out here and then tell the Thunder Rangers to meet us down there when you get a second. He's like, cool, we'll do. So then at some point, the Thunder Rangers join the fight. Also, Sensei's like, I'm interested in the differences of the physiology between the red and the yellow rangers. And Tori's like, maybe not now, Sensei. He's like, oh, yeah, good point. I don't know what he meant by that at all, so we're going to walk away from it. The Thunders join. Now that Footzilla has nebulous gravity powers, he's got like a staff that has like a gravity thing in it, and he ran around and like slapped stickers on them that are like,
yeah, he's like
anti-gravity bunions, I think he said.
He said bunions, and he also said something about like, oh, you think I'm corny, but now you have the anti-gravity bunion patches.
Gross.
I'm like, but Tori's is on her arm, so it's not even like it's on her feet.
No, also, that'd be a weird place to get a bunion. Like, for sure. Like, in your armpit? Because there's like, it, like up in her armpit.
Yeah.
So Footzilla is nasty.
Footzilla is the maybe the dumbest monster.
Yeah, he sucks a lot. So they're stuck in the air because he anti-gravities them up. And then Shane's like, hey, put us down. He's like, okay. And then he switches. He like rotates the little staff around. And Shane rockets into the ground. And he's like halfway buried up, like up to his chest.
So it's not just anti-gravity, but also super gravity.
Yeah, and he's like, gotcha, now you're stuck in the ground. And he's like, Sensei, what am I gonna do? And he's like, hold on, I'll distract him, just focus on your inner ninja things. And then Sensei summons the lion hammer and just whips it at Footzilla. And I like that he's very calm. He's like, inner ninja strength, I'm gonna throw a hammer at this fool.
Hammer Brothers.
Hammer Bros are the maybe the second worst enemy.
They are frightening.
They're bad. The only thing that is scary to me, and this is very pathetic, is Potaboos. Potaboos just freak me out because they could pop up anywhere.
And they come out of lava.
Yeah, but like I don't know when. Like you just be running, like, yeah, I'm doing great, and then Potaboo right up your butt.
I feel like some of them are on timers, but other ones are just like on a weird algorithm, so they randomly just pop up.
Yeah, and I don't like it. It's the same reason I don't like the Hammer Brothers, because like I don't know what the hammer situation, like how is the hammer gonna go? It could go anywhere.
And as soon as you jump to hit the block underneath them, they switch to a different platform.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
There's always like two, so you're like, I'll get one and you'll hit it, but then a hammer from the top one will fall and hit you.
Yeah, there's Hammer and Luigi Hammer.
The Hammer Brothers.
The Hammer Brothers.
So anyway, now that they have Shane gets free by using his inner ninja, and he grabs him. He does like that air run, not like the kick or slash or whatever, but he's just like pushing him in the air. And then he like pulls out his hawk shooter thing and just like shoots him in the face. And that he hits him so hard that everybody gets released from the anti-gravity. Then they put all their weapons together and they do a big shoot and they blow him up. And then we get maybe the worst joke in the episode, which is, well, it starts out as a good joke. And then they got to cap it off with another, like, Mara is very stupid, remember?
Yeah.
Like, it's Mara and Capri, and they're sitting at, like, a table, like, looking up at a camera, I guess, to talk to Lothar.
Just into space in general.
Yeah. They're like, what do we do? And Lothar's like, what do? You make him big. When they blow them up, you make him big. Like, they blow them up, we make him big. We do this all the time. It happens every single time. It's the only way we do it. And they're like, oh, right. And then Mara's like, how do you spell big? And I'm like, no, no, that's not landing at all.
Yeah, and also, you don't type out big on the PAM to make them grow. You just hit the grow button.
You hit a button that looks like a dinosaur footprint or whatever, and they grow big or whatever. So they grow big. They get in their Zords. They get Mini-Zord. Mini-Zord, thankfully, does not talk.
There is the amount of time that they are getting into and putting all of their Zords together versus the amount of time that they actually fight a giant Footzilla is like 3-1.
Yeah.
And I am sick of this.
They get in it and it seems like there's going to be an actual fight for a second, which again, there's like a weird sweet spot. Like a lot of fights, they're either too short or too long and there's no length to determine which is right. Like, it's not like a 30-second fight is too short, but a 31-second is too long. Sometimes, like, a 20-second is too long, and a 40-second is too short. Like, it's really weird. But they get anti-gravity immediately, and so they start floating, and Shane's like, Sensei, what do we do? And Sensei's like, I've taught you everything you know. He's like, you're right. And so they just do the big shoot where they blast them with 9 million bullets.
They're floating in the air, and they just shoot him to death from off the ground.
It's like, hey, Shane, why do we need to ask about that?
Like,
it's the one thing you're gonna do when you put the Thunder Zord, the Thunder Megazord together.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sick of Zord fights. If this is what they're gonna be, I don't want them anymore.
I really like when they summon up a new thing and they got this weird little Digimon that's a weapon. Like, I really like that. Everything else we can skip.
Yeah.
Like, anything else, like, we don't need to worry about it. At least Mini-Zord didn't talk.
No, that's very true.
So that's nice. So then they land. It's dead. We cut to Mara and Capri, and they're writing lines on a board. It's like, I will not destroy my Uncle Lothar's stuff.
Evil regime, I think, is what it says.
That's a weird way to say that.
maybe it was evil empire.
Maybe. I don't know.
But he's not an emperor.
He's just an evil ninja.
He's a space ninja.
Yeah.
He's got like some nieces and a Chubo.
And like a spaceship that maybe he rents. I don't know.
At the very least, he rented it and never brought it back.
And he's like, I'm going to go to solar system. You don't need to worry about this coming back. This is mine now. I'm an evil ninja. Bye. But they're just like writing lines like they're in detention, like they're Bart Simpson in detention.
Yeah, and then Lothar like snaps and the board goes clear and he's like, 1,000 more times. And they go, aw, man.
Then we cut down to Ninja Ops. Cam's like, all right, this should definitely work this time. Everybody else is over here, so no one can high-five the green laser barrier thing. So we're going to turn them back. So they hit the button, the little thing goes up. What's really cool is Dustin's, like, Glenn McMillan is, like, very calm and, like, collected. And then when they switch back, he's like, whoa, and he immediately reverts back into, like, goofy, loose Dustin. And it's really good.
Yeah, nobody else has this range.
No. Glenn McMillan, very good actor. Yeah. Super good. Maybe the best in the season.
In the season? I would say so.
Yeah, easily, I think. Right before that, he's like, I think I got fleas, and so can we hurry this up? Because Sensei's like, I'm sorry you don't have a human dad. He's like, well, I'll always have a dad anyway, dad. And Dustin's like, I don't care. I'm itching. Can we not make me a guinea pig anymore? They switch him back, and then he's still itching, and Shane's like, is there going to be any, like, side effects? And Cam's like, well, it's highly improbable. But then we cut back over to Dustin, and he's just got the bag of guinea pig food just scarfing it down.
Bro's got the munchies, dude.
And he's like, you gotta try some. This is great. And they're like, oh, Dustin's eating food for gerbils.
I don't think this is a side effect. I think he just had some when he was a guinea pig, and he was like,
yeah, it's not bad.
Don't mind this.
It's like a Scooby snack.
Yeah. This tastes like food.
It's like a food? That's the end of the episode. So, Josh, I started.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best?
Oh, what is the best? I don't know. I feel like I had one early on and I forgot it because I got so mad at so much other stuff.
I think the best is the, like, continuity of this is how Sensei is.
Yes, the Sensei continuity is the best.
Yeah, I really like how they're like, he has his hands behind his back and he's got good posture and he's very chill. And, like, that carries over between Shane and Dustin. Mm. I like that. What's the worst? You only get one.
I know. I'm going to have to give it to Dumb Mara.
I also am going to give it to... I even wrote down, my worst is Dumb Mara.
But that Zora fight is close. And that's just, I think, exhaustion at this point of if you're just getting in the Zord to kill the monster again in 10 seconds, why are we doing this?
They gotta sell the toys, Josh. This ain't new. This isn't new.
We have the toys. We're 22, 23 episodes in.
But like, every episode could be some kid's first episode, and they need to get the toys.
Maybe he didn't need to be a skateboarder for 15 minutes out of the episode, and we could have got a Zord fight at the end instead.
I think if we would have trimmed down the skating and gotten rid of, I'm just going to say 100% of the Avon Lady, Mara, and Capri jokes, and just kind of tighten that up more, we could have gotten Sensei Tori, and I think that would have been... very fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not, so here we are.
Yep.
I don't have as much problem with the Zord fight as you do.
Well, they took
admittedly
3 minutes getting all the, summoning all the Zords, putting all the Zords together, and just shot him one time and it was over. Like, it's just a lot for nothing.
I think if they I don't know how they would have fixed it, but like,
it wouldn't be a big deal if it hasn't been happening for seasons now at this point, where the Zord fight is just they get in the Zord and kill him. Instead of, like, they get in the Zord and have a dramatic good fight with them. That never happens anymore. It's just frustrating.
I mean, it's happened in this season. It happens often. It's just, you know, maybe not the last, like, 4 or 5 episodes. But also, then sometimes we complain about the Zord fights being too long. So, like, I don't know. Anyway,
I mean, Zord fights could be good. They did good Zord fights from the beginning and then, like, lost it in the middle and haven't really been able to pick that ball back up.
I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as you do, but we're different people. Who's the MVP?
I'm going to give it to Dustin's actor, whose name I don't remember.
Glenn McMillan.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to him.
Okay. I'm going to give it to Tori. Because she was, like, holding down everything while people were swapping bodies all over the place. And I thought she did she had a lot of fun jokes and bits. A close second to Glenn McMillan, though. But I just like Tori in this episode. I like Tori in every episode. I like Tori. I think she's a good character. I don't like the weird belt thing she had this time, but mostly just because it's confusing to me. It's like a necklace for your lap.
Yeah. If you're standing, do you have a lap? I don't.
It's still there, right?
It's a waistless.
So the front of your legs when you're standing,
a hipless,
are just the front of your leg. They're your quads,
right? And when you sit down, it's a lap.
They anamorph into a lap. Is what you're saying.
When your thighs become a seat, then it is a lap.
Okay, I think we're getting a little saucy on this. All right, now we got to rank it.
You can't just say sit on my thighs. That's filthy.
Sit on my thighs.
Don't sit on my thighs,
dirty,
daddy.
Nasty thighs. Okay.
I don't want it very high.
I don't want it super low. I still think it was fine. I don't think it was like wonderful. All right, what about Good Will Hunter? Where do you think related to Good Will Hunter, an episode about not Hunter?
About Hunter that Hunter's not in?
Yeah.
What else happened in that? What was happening? What was the actual point of the episode?
The point of the episode was, I don't remember. So, Hunter had a kid. He didn't like have it. He's not a dad now.
Oh, right. He was part of like a big brother project.
But it didn't really go anywhere. And then I cannot for the life of me remember what the other Rangers were doing during that. Because I think it was mostly just fighting.
That's when Lothar lost his Pam.
Right.
I had to look up the description on the Wikipedia.
Right. I think it's better than that at the very least.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like I would also put it above Prelude to a Storm.
I don't know that I would do that.
Okay. Well, then we seem to be at an impasse. Do you have a coin on you?
That's the first episode, right?
Yeah, it's the first episode.
I don't know. Because I left that episode excited for the season, and I'm leaving this one a little sour, so I hesitate to put it above this.
You sound grumpy about this one. The reason I think it would go above is because I did enjoy, I think maybe part of the problem is that episode is too low on the list. Like, I feel like we messed up.
I mean, I don't know if we messed up.
And Prelude to a Storm should be a little higher, but I can put it below Prelude to a Storm if you are.
Yeah.
If you are dead set.
Yeah.
All right. So coming in at number 10, Sensei Switcheroo. And somehow it accepts that switcheroo is a word. And that's going to do it for us for today. What's the next episode called, Josh? You still got it pulled up?
I remember because it was something. It's a phrase that's just a little wrong.
Like Good Will Hunter.
Oh, it's tongue and cheek.
Okay. All right. We're going to see where that one goes.
The phrase is tongue in cheek, right?
Yes.
I haven't been hearing that wrong my entire life.
No. That's not a Chameleon situation.
That does happen sometimes.
Well, I guess we will find out whose tongue is going in whose cheek.
Whose cheek?
On Friday.
Who's sitting on whose thighs next week?
But until then, may the power protect you. Allergies still acting up?
Yeah.
Is that just like its own season down there?
I just feel like it's all the time.
Oh, no.